Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi, Herman and Corin. I'd love to pick your brains about the different ways one can go about doing a seemingly simple, what you think would be a pretty simple technical project. And it's one of those things where I think sometimes you either don't have, there isn't really an existing solution for doing this, which is actually kind of where AI has been, I think, the most transformative, because we're moving very quickly towards what's being often described as the end of SaaS and the beginning of a new era where we don't even have predefined software like we currently have. Everything is pretty, you know, fits within boxes. People just create the tools they need on the fly. But sometimes the problem is that, and I'm going to try my best to describe it in my own words, the really serious people and normal people want the same thing. I'm talking about displays for productivity, what you might call wall panels. Think about a little display on your desktop that might show the time, maybe a couple of time zones. You know, I'm a big fan of knowing the time in UTC. Might show the latest email you got, might show the latest calendar thing. And you'd think that this would be a pretty straightforward thing to rig together, but not only are there a lot of options, it's actually weirdly hard to find what you want, at least in my experience. And I'll talk about the different things I've looked at. So you have on the one hand these kind of ready-made pre-integrated things, like hard integrated hardware software solutions, right? That someone will sell you for. These tend to be very expensive, without naming specific products or vendors, because there's quite a few of them. It's a, you know, think of like a wall panel that you just plug in, configure, they've got their own kind of lightweight OS, and you set it and forget it. Nice, but not very customizable and very expensive typically. The next thing that you can do is get a Raspberry Pi or an SBC and use a display or signage tool and try to kind of hack around that. And this is where I say that when you have businesses and consumers kind of looking for a similar thing, it gets very hard to find stuff that is actually affordable for consumers if you're happy to pay for a SaaS subscription. A lot of the stuff in digital signage is intended for display in tech offices, showing KPIs. And it seems like a very similar use case to a person just wanting a really nicely defined productivity dashboard, but it's not quite the same thing. You don't typically want your Salesforce metrics. You do want your next email, whereas in the company environment, privacy concerns often say that we're not going to have a calendar, any kind of an inbox integration, because needless to say, if your personal inbox gets displayed in front of a few hundred colleagues because you misconfigured something, that would be a pretty, no-go for the software company. So that's the other end of it. And finally, you have, what else have I tried? Android tablets, right? That's one way to do it, is to just go for something like an Android tablet. You've got the kind of touch interface built in, but frequently it feels like overkill to get a decent performance for display. Even if you want to build yourself a little dashboard with a few screens or tabs on it and little touch interfaces, you actually can't go too light on the hardware, and it ends up becoming just as expensive as the pre-assembled stuff. The final direction, and this is where I think is probably the most fruitful one for this kind of a thing, but where I get a bit confused as to what components do we need. It's a lot better value for money if you separate the display and the compute. So you buy a screen, a display of some kind, a component, and then you buy something like a Raspberry Pi or an Orange Pi or an SBC. The only pitfall for this approach is if you want to put up a few in your house, if you get into this, then it doesn't really, it becomes a bit scrappy to have to create a new computer every time you want to create another display. And that's where these networked display things shine, but also the limitations we talked about. If we want to have, let's say, if I were to describe what I've been trying to create, it's something like a, let's say, an Android tablet size thing that has Wi-Fi. So it's got networking. It's got the computer built in, just like in an Android tablet, it's not sticking out. And that's where these SBCs, I find it doesn't really make sense to me. Like, how do you, you know, you can just sellotape a Raspberry Pi or VHB it to the back of a screen, but it doesn't look the best. So I'm still kind of at a loss for if you just wanted to take it down to first principles, because so many of these dashboards can actually just be built with really elemental stuff like HTML, CSS, Bootstrap, where it actually becomes finicky. And that's why I mention again the how surprisingly complicated this stuff can get. Widgets and iframes are kind of a nightmare. And then if you don't go that way, you're looking at API integrations and it's even more complicated. So what starts out is, oh, sure, it'll be easy. I'll just like, I want to create a little wall display with, you know, four quadrants and these things. I ended up finding so many different things, none of which exactly worked, and ended up feeling just more confused about which way actually makes the most sense. Do I want to do a little ESP32 controller and a screen? Is there a component that gives you both of those things together? If so, what's the, can you control it remotely so that if I want to turn it on and off using maybe MQTT? And if I wanted to roll out a few of these, how can I do so without getting into the really, really complicated world of either self-hosted digital display and signage things or the cloud-hosted stuff like Yodek? Is it called Yodek? It's something like that. That costs like $10 per display per month, which makes a lot of sense. It's pretty cheap if you're a retail store or a business. But if you're just a home enthusiast, you might not. It's kind of a steep ask to have a $40 a month subscription just to create a few calendar displays around your house. So Herman and Corn, that's all the messy world that I've looked at so far of hardware and software. I'd love to get your read on it. What do you think? There's so many potential options, but finding that nice fit can be surprisingly difficult. What do you think for other folks who are just looking for a really nice and customizable display to put up on their desk or in their home office without either spending a ton on SaaS subscriptions or being driven crazy with all the self-hosted stuff? What's a good middle ground, hardware and software? Up to you two.
You know, Herman, I was looking at my desk the other day and I realized I have this persistent nagging itch. It is the itch for the perfect information radiator. That one screen that just sits there glowing softly, telling me exactly what I need to know without me having to alt-tab, unlock my phone, or dig through a dozen browser tabs. It is such a specific modern desire, right? This quest for the ultimate low-friction productivity dashboard.
Oh, I know that itch well, Korn. It is the dream of the command center. It is the desire to feel like the captain of a starship, where all the vital signs of your life and work are visible at a glance. I am Herman Poppleberry, by the way, for anyone joining us for the first time. And yeah, this is a rabbit hole I have fallen down more times than I care to admit. It is funny you bring it up, because our housemate Daniel actually sent us a prompt about this very thing. He is tired of the extremes. On one side, you have the super expensive enterprise stuff, and on the other, you have the messy, cable-sprawled hobbyist projects that look like a science fair experiment gone wrong.
It is a classic Goldilocks problem. Daniel was asking about how to find that elusive middle ground. He has looked at the ready-made hardware that costs $400 and locks you into a limited, proprietary ecosystem. Then he looked at the Raspberry Pi route with digital signage tools, which are usually meant for corporate lobbies and come with those annoying $10 a month subscriptions just to show your own data. It feels like there is a massive gap in the market for the prosumer who wants quality without the corporate overhead.
Exactly. And then you have the tablet route, which feels like it should be the easy answer, but often ends up being either too much or just slightly wrong for a dedicated display. Daniel mentioned this idea of moving toward an era where we do not just buy software off the shelf, but we kind of create the tools we need on the fly. He called it the end of software as a service, in a way. I think there is a lot of truth in that, especially here in early 2026, with how easy it is becoming to stitch things together with simple code or even artificial intelligence helpers.
Right. And he is specifically looking for something customizable and affordable for a home office. Something that shows time zones, calendars, maybe even a snippet of your inbox or your task list, but without the friction of a full computer interface. So today, I think we should really dig into what that middle ground looks like right now. What is the actual state of the art for a person who wants a beautiful functional dashboard without a degree in electrical engineering or a corporate expense account?
I love this topic because it sits right at the intersection of productivity psychology and hardware hacking. Let us start by looking at why the existing solutions feel so unsatisfying. Why do you think the expensive ready-made stuff fails for someone like Daniel?
I think it is the flexibility tax. When you buy a dedicated productivity screen from a boutique company, you are paying for the industrial design and the ease of setup. But as soon as you want to add a widget that they do not support, like maybe a specific countdown timer for your next sprint, or a custom feed from a niche tool you use, you are stuck. You are a prisoner of their development roadmap. If they decide to go out of business or stop supporting that model, your expensive screen becomes a very pretty paperweight.
And the enterprise signage stuff is even worse for home use. Those companies like Yodek or others, they are built for managing 1,000 screens in 1,000 office buildings. They want to sell you a subscription because that is their business model. For a home user, paying over $100 a year just to show your own calendar on a wall feels like an insult. It is your data on your screen in your house. Why am I paying rent for that? It is the everything is a service fatigue that Daniel is talking about.
Precisely. So that leads a lot of people to the Raspberry Pi or the Orange Pi, what Daniel called the scrappy route. And I get why he calls it that. Unless you are really good at 3D printing a custom enclosure, you usually end up with a green circuit board taped to the back of a monitor with a messy bundle of cables hanging down. It does not exactly scream professional home office. It screams, I spend more time fixing my dashboard than looking at it.
It is the cable management nightmare. But let us talk about the compute side for a second. Daniel mentioned separating the display and the compute. This is actually a really smart architectural move, even if it feels scrappy. If you have a screen that is just a screen, you can upgrade the brains behind it whenever you want. But I think the real breakthrough for the middle ground in 2026 is actually in the world of smart home tablets and repurposed hardware.
Are you thinking about the cheap Android tablet route? Daniel seemed a bit wary of that being overkill. He mentioned that tablets can feel like too much computer for a simple task.
It can be overkill if you just leave it as a tablet. If you have notifications popping up, or if the battery starts to swell because it is plugged in 24/7, it is a disaster. But if you treat a tablet as an appliance rather than a computer, the game changes. Specifically, I am looking at things like the newer e-ink tablets or even the budget-friendly Fire tablets that people are stripping down.
Okay, let us go deeper on the e-ink side first. I know you have a soft spot for e-ink. Why is that a strong contender for a productivity dashboard in a home office?
E-ink is the ultimate ambient technology. It does not glow at you, it does not flicker, and it has that high contrast, paper-like quality that just feels less stressful. In a home office, where you are already staring at 2 or 3 backlit monitors for 8 hours a day, having another glowing rectangle can actually be a negative. It adds to the digital noise. E-ink looks like a part of your wall or your desk. And from a technical perspective, once you set the image, it stays there with zero power consumption. You could have a power outage, and your schedule for the day would still be visible.
But isn't the refresh rate a huge hurdle for something like a dashboard? If I get a new email, I do not want to wait 30 seconds for the screen to flash black and white and slowly update. That feels like the opposite of a high-tech dashboard.
That is the old-school way of thinking about e-ink. The newer panels we are seeing now, especially the ones coming out of companies like Waveshare or the Inkplate series, can do partial refreshes very quickly. We are talking about sub-1-second updates for small areas of the screen. So, your clock can tick, your calendar can update, and it feels fluid enough for productivity. There are even color e-ink displays now, like the Spectra 6 series, that look incredible for showing color-coded calendars or weather maps.
Okay, so if we take Daniel's request for a middle ground, maybe an e-ink display paired with an ESP32 controller. Daniel mentioned the ESP32 specifically. For the listeners who might not know, That is a tiny, very cheap microcontroller with built-in Wi-Fi.
Exactly. And that is where the magic happens. You can get an ESP32 and a 7.5-inch e-ink display for well under $100. There is this amazing open-source project called OpenePaper Link that basically lets you run these things for months on a tiny battery. You can push images to them over Wi-Fi from a central server. It is very customizable, but I will admit, it requires a little bit of coding knowledge. It might still be a bit too scrappy for someone who wants a polished experience.
See? That is the tension. Daniel wants something that feels integrated. What about the software layer? If we assume the hardware is some kind of screen with a basic computer attached, how do we solve the subscription and customization problem without spending 40 hours writing Python scripts?
This is where we have to talk about the heavy hitters in the self-hosted world. Have you looked at what people are doing with Home Assistant dashboards lately? It has completely moved beyond just turning on lights.
I have. It has evolved so much in the last year. It used to be this very clunky technical interface where you had to edit YAML files for everything. But now with the sections view and the new drag and drop features, people are building truly beautiful interfaces. And the best part is that Home Assistant can pull in everything. It can talk to your Google Calendar. It can check your IMAP mail server. It can pull in weather. And it can even monitor your computer's CPU usage or your solar panel output.
And it is all local. No subscription. You run it on a small server in your house, like an old laptop or a cheap mini PC, and then any device with a web browser becomes your dashboard. This, I think, is the real answer for Daniel. You get a decent, slim Android tablet, maybe a refurbished one from a few years ago to keep the cost down. You mount it to the wall or put it on a nice stand. Then, you use an app called Fully Kiosk Browser.
Oh, Fully Kiosk is a game changer for this specific use case. Tell the people why it is better than just opening Chrome on a tablet.
Fully Kiosk Browser basically turns an Android tablet into a single-purpose appliance. It strips away the status bar, the home buttons, and all the distractions. It just displays one website, which would be your Home Assistant dashboard, or maybe a custom web app you built. But here's the cool part. It gives the website access to the tablet's hardware. It can even use the tablet's front camera as a motion sensor. So, when you walk into your office, the screen turns on instantly, and when you leave, it goes dark to save the screen and the power. It makes a $100 tablet feel like a $2,000 custom installation.
That sounds like exactly the middle ground. You get the polish of a tablet, the flexibility of a web-based dashboard, and no monthly fees. But what if Daniel doesn't want to manage a whole Home Assistant setup? That can be a bit of a project in itself. Are there simpler web-based tools that are still customizable?
There are. DA Keyboard is the most famous one, and while they do have a subscription model, their free tier is actually quite capable for a single screen. You can link your calendar, show the weather, and put some photos on there. But if Daniel really wants to embrace the end of SaaS philosophy he mentioned, he should look at Magic Mirror Squared. It is an open-source platform that has thousands of community-made modules. You want a module that shows the current position of the International Space Station? Someone has built it. You want your Todoist list? It is there.
I also want to touch on what Daniel said about creating tools on the fly. We are seeing these new AI-driven dashboard builders now. You can essentially tell an LLM, hey, I want a dashboard that shows my primary calendar, the time in Jerusalem, London, and New York, and a list of my top three most recent emails from my boss. The AI can actually generate the HTML and CSS for that dashboard for you in seconds. You don't even need a platform like Dackboard anymore. You can just host a simple text file on your local network.
That is a brilliant point, Korn. We are moving away from needing a company to build a widget for us. If you can describe it, you can probably get it rendered. And for someone like Daniel, who seems technically curious, that opens up a world of hyper-personalization. Like, imagine a dashboard that changes its layout based on what is on your calendar. If you have a day full of meetings, the calendar expands to take up the whole screen. If your day is clear, it switches to a deep word timer and a list of your most important tasks. This is what I call context-aware productivity.
That is the dream. That is where it becomes a true productivity partner, not just a passive display. But let's get practical for a second. If you were Daniel, and you wanted to set this up this weekend, what is the specific hardware stack you are buying? Let's give him a shopping list.
Okay, here is my mid-range, high-value recommendation for 2026. First, for the screen, I would actually move away from the tablet and look for a portable monitor. You can find 15-inch 4K portable monitors now for under $150. They are incredibly thin, they look great, and they usually power over a single USB-C cable.
Okay, a portable monitor. It is bigger than a tablet, which is nice for a wall or a large desk. And what is the brain?
I would go with a mini PC, specifically something with an Intel N100 processor. These things have become the gold standard for low-power home computing. They are about the size of a sandwich, they use almost no power, and they are much more powerful and stable than a Raspberry Pi. You can VESA mount it right to the back of the monitor so it is completely hidden. You run a lightweight version of Linux on it, and you just have it open a browser in kiosk mode on startup.
Why the mini PC over the Raspberry Pi 5? Is it just the performance, or is there more to it?
It is the stability and the "it just works" factor. Raspberry Pis are great, but microSD cards can fail over time if they are writing data constantly, and the ARM architecture sometimes makes installing certain software a bit finicky. An Intel-based mini PC is just a standard computer. Everything works. You have plenty of RAM, you have a real SSD, and you can use it for other things in the background, like a local file server or a media player, without it breaking a sweat. It is the ultimate set-it-and-forget-it brain for a dashboard.
That makes sense. So you have a 15-inch screen, a mini PC hidden behind it, and you are running a custom dashboard. Total cost is probably around $250 to $300. It is not cheap, but it is a one-time cost, and it is incredibly powerful. It is less than the price of those lockdown boutique screens.
Exactly. And if you want to go even cheaper, the true middle ground is definitely the repurposed tablet. You can find an old iPad or a high-end Samsung tablet from 3 years ago on the used market for $100. The screens on those are often better than any cheap monitor you can buy. You wall mount it with a $30 magnetic mount and you are in business. The key is the mounting.
I think we should talk about the aesthetics for a moment too. Daniel mentioned he wants it to look nice. The wall mounting part is where most people fail. They have a white wire trailing down a blue wall, and it looks like an afterthought. If you are in a rental, you cannot always drill holes to hide cables.
This is where flat, paintable ribbon cables come in. You can get these USB power cables that are basically as thin as a piece of tape. You stick them to the wall, paint over them with a little bit of leftover wall paint, and they virtually disappear. It is a pro-level trick that makes a DIY setup look like a $1,000 integrated solution. Or, if you are using a tablet, look for PoE to USB-C adapters. If you have Ethernet in your walls, you can send power and data over a single thin cable.
That is a great tip. Now, let's talk about the data privacy aspect. Daniel mentioned that in an office, you wouldn't want your inbox on a public screen. Even in a home office, if you have guests over or if you use your office for other things, you might want some privacy. How do we handle that in a customizable way?
That is the beauty of the DIY approach. You can build in a privacy mode. If you are using Home Assistant or a custom web app, you can have a simple toggle on the screen, or better yet, use the presence detection we talked about. There are these amazing new mmWave sensors like the LD2410 that can detect if a human is standing still in a room. If your phone isn't in the room or the sensor doesn't see you, the dashboard switches to a generic clock or a rotating art gallery. As soon as you walk in, the dashboard recognizes your presence and brings up your personal calendar and emails.
That is very slick. It feels very futuristic, but it is actually quite easy to do now with Bluetooth room tracking or those presence sensors. It solves that psychological barrier of having your life on display.
It really does. And it addresses Daniel's concern about things being overkill. It is only a computer when you are there to use it. The rest of the time, it is just art. I want to go back to Daniel's mention of the ESP32 and MQTT. For the really nerdy listeners, this is where you can get very creative. You can have physical buttons on your desk that talk to the dashboard via MQTT. You press a physical button that says focus mode, and your dashboard changes, your lights dim, and your status on Slack updates to away.
I love that. It is about creating an environment, not just a screen. But I wonder if we are making it sound too complicated again. If Daniel wants to start simple, what is the one software tool he should look at first?
Honestly, if he wants to start today without setting up a server, he should check out a service called Dacboard. Just use the free version on an old tablet. But if he wants the customization he's talking about, the end of SaaS feel, he should spend a Saturday afternoon learning the basics of Home Assistant. It has a bit of a learning curve, but once you get it, you will never want to go back to a closed system. There are thousands of YouTube tutorials specifically for Home Assistant dashboards for beginners.
And there are so many templates now. You don't have to start from a blank canvas. You can find someone else's beautiful productivity dashboard layout on a forum, copy their code, and just swap in your own data sources. It is very much like the way people share Notion templates or Obsidian workflows. It is a community of people trying to solve the same problem.
Exactly. It is a community-driven ecosystem. And since Daniel mentioned the end of software as a service, I think this is the ultimate expression of that. You are the architect. You are using open source blocks to build a tool that fits your brain perfectly. No company can build a dashboard that fits every person's workflow because we all process information differently. Some people are visual and want a big weather map. Others are text heavy and want a list of their next 5 tasks.
I think that is a really profound point, Herman. The perfect productivity display is as personal as a journal. It is a reflection of how you prioritize your time and energy. If you value your time, spending a few hours building a tool that saves you 30 seconds of searching 50 times a day is a massive win.
It really is. And I think we are seeing a shift where people are willing to put in a little bit of effort to get that personalization. The middle ground is no longer about settling for a mediocre product. It is about having the tools to build a superior one without needing to be a professional developer. We have moved past the scrappy phase into the empowered phase.
So, to summarize for Daniel, we have 2 main paths for the middle ground. Path 1 is the tablet appliance. Buy a good used tablet, wall mount it with a magnetic mount and a hidden cable, and use Fully Kiosk Browser to display a Home Assistant dashboard. This gives you touch control and a high-resolution screen for about $150 total.
And path 2 is the modular display. A 15-inch portable monitor paired with a tiny Intel mini PC hidden behind it. This gives you a much larger canvas, more compute power, and more stability for 24/7 operation. This is the pro setup for around $300. Both of these avoid monthly subscriptions and give you total control over your data.
I think those are both fantastic options. And they both satisfy that desire to move away from the rigid boxes that traditional software puts us in. You are creating a tool that works for you, rather than you working around the tool. It is about reclaiming your digital space.
Precisely. And hey, if you are listening to this and you have built your own dashboard, we would love to see it. One of the best parts of this community is seeing the creative ways people display their information. You can reach out to us through the contact form at myweirdprompts.com. Send us a photo or a description of your stack.
Yeah, I am always looking for new widget ideas. I have been trying to figure out a way to show my water intake versus my coffee intake on my dashboard in real time, but it is a work in progress. I think I need some kind of smart coaster.
That sounds like a very corn-specific widget. I love it. You probably need a smart scale under your mug for that level of precision. We can talk about the ESP32 load cell integration in the next episode.
Don't give me ideas, Herman. I have enough projects on my plate. But seriously, this quest for the perfect display is really a quest for a more intentional relationship with our digital lives. By bringing the most important information out of the hidden tabs of our browsers and into the physical space of our offices, we are making it more tangible and less overwhelming.
It reduces the cognitive load of searching for information. When it is just there, in your peripheral vision, you don't have to break your flow to check the time in another zone or see when your next meeting is. It becomes a part of the environment, like a window looking out onto your digital world.
A window into your own productivity. I like that. Well, I think we have given Daniel a lot to chew on. It is a big topic, but the middle ground is definitely there if you are willing to look for it and tinker just a little bit.
Absolutely. It is an exciting time to be a tinkerer. The hardware is cheaper and better than ever, and the software is becoming more accessible every single day. You don't need to be a coder, you just need to be curious.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has been following along with us. We are over 600 episodes in now, and the community around My Weird Prompts is just incredible. If you're enjoying these deep dives into the intersection of tech and life, please do us a favor and leave a review on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help other curious minds find us.
It really does. And if you haven't checked out the website lately, head over to myweirdprompts.com. We have the full archive there, and it is a great place to search for topics we have covered in the past. We have talked about everything from emergent AI behaviors to the physics of coffee, so there is plenty to explore.
Thanks again to Daniel for the great prompt. It is always fun to dig into these problems that sit right on the edge of what is possible for a dedicated home user. It keeps us on our toes.
Definitely. I'm going to go look at some 7-color e-ink panels now. You have me inspired to upgrade my own desk setup.
Of course you are. I expect a full report by Monday. All right, thanks for listening to My Weird Prompts. We will be back next time with another deep dive into whatever weird and wonderful ideas come our way.
See you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.